I'm Joe Bendosky, and this is Start Writing. This week we have an interview with Robert Lenz, who is the author, co-author of Shift. He actually started writing this with his friend Jacob Hunter. They took creative writing classes in college together, and they had kind of a writing critique slash prose prompt group where they would put up a paragraph or a sentence. And out of that back and forth in that group kind of grew the idea for Shift, and slowly that evolved into a novel that they wrote together. He's a software engineer and kind of does this on in his spare time. So, same with his co-writer, co-author there. So this week in critiques, one of these is an older critique, and one actually comes from this week. And one is, I remember a woman in my group brought a piece, and in it, there was this really big news article that she was using as kind of the exposition for some of the story. And as the main character was kind of going through the market, everybody in the market was talking about it, and they were kind of picking up where the other person left off. And someone else in my group brought this up. She said, as she was reading the scene, she says, it's like a musical. Like, we are all singing this song, and we all know what's going on. And I thought that was really funny, but I've seen authors do it, and I've done this myself as a way to try to slip that exposition in. You know, you essentially have this rolling conversation that moves from all these different characters in the group, and they do it in musicals all the time. You know, you watch Beauty and the Beast, the cartoon, and like, this song moves and the whole town like takes part in it. They know all the words. They know exactly where to cut in. And, you know, in a cartoon for children, that's, you know, it's something you can get away with. But in a novel, it's kind of reads weird. It's, you know, unless that's how you structured your world, it is a little off. The next one is I was reading a synopsis of a work, and in it, the author asked to identify any tropes or cliches, and there was a shipwreck in it that I said you can kind of see that coming a mile away. And the solution I presented is not so much to take the shipwreck out, but to look at the cause, because a shipwreck caused by a storm happens all the time. And so what I wanted to look at is the character arc was about the conceit and the pride of the captain, and anytime something went wrong, he blamed the others around him. And so I thought the cause of the shipwreck, rather than necessarily being the storm itself, could be attributed to his arrogance instead. So perhaps maybe the crew sees a problem and recommendation and he refuses to listen, and that's what leads to the shipwreck, or something along that line. And so now it's not just the storm causing the wreck, but opposed to the choices of the characters themselves are what leads to the wreck. And so it makes it a little bit more part of the story and connects stronger to the main character's character arc. In marketing this week, the big thing I wanted to bring up is whether you guys like the small tidbits before the interviews and the discussion, or would you prefer that we put together a whole discussion on marketing for the month instead? So it's a little bit more in depth and a longer piece, looking at all the different elements of one aspect or another. So write in and let us know. And then the other thing I have for you is I came across a company this week called Inklit. They essentially do a kind of crowdsourcing to determine what novels they want to publish. About a year ago, we did an interview with Something or Other Publishing, who they would have people get votes for story ideas as a way to determine who they would publish. So Inklit is a similar approach to their publishing model. And they base it on what they call the Harry Potter method. And that is that Harry Potter got rejected by any adult who picked up the manuscript and read it. And the company and the agent and everybody who ended up finally picking it up is that the agent or editor, I can't remember, gave it to their daughter, who was the target age group of the novel. And she loved it and wanted the next chapter. And so the editor agent didn't even bother to read it. They just said, yeah, we'll take this one. Clearly the target audience loves it. And that's how Harry Potter got its contract. So Inklit, what they do is you submit your manuscript and then it goes into their system, and they have an app that lets people read it. And so there's 100 copies available. And what they then look at is how fast people finish it, how often people are opening it, how much they're reading at one time, and any kind of data related to these people reading and enjoying this book. And then based on that data, they make a decision on whether or not to publish you. And they have no prerequisites. You don't have been published before to submit a manuscript. Even if you've already published your book indie, you can still submit it. And if you hit the algorithm points that they need, they will still pick you up. So they do recommend you do a lot of promotion via your social media to kind of draw attention to the book. But I thought that was really interesting method they were setting up there in that Inklet. So I will put a link to that in the newsletter. If you're driving or something and you've subscribed to our newsletter, I'll put a link to Inklet in there, and I'll give a little summary to remind people who may have listened to this a couple weeks before they see it in there. And so that's everything for the before. Here is the interview with Robert Lenz. Why don't you first talk to me about your book? How pick like a household name, a book or an author that people recognize, and kind of compare yours to that so people get a feel for the genre and the style of your writing.
Yeah, sure. So the style of writing, pretty firmly in the sci-fi cyberpunk genre, I think. If you're into William Gibson or Neal Stephenson or any of those kinds of authors, that'd be pretty much what you'd be looking at, I think. Definitely in the kind of the technical aspects, hacking, genetic alteration, all of that kind of fun stuff.
So talk to me about, you write with a writing partner, right? Jacob Hunter, if I remember correctly.
Yep, that's right.
So this is your debut novel. Tell me how that came about. How did you meet him, and how did you decide that you were going to write this novel together as opposed to solo?
So that's kind of a fun story. We've been friends since college, and we've always kind of had fun writing little stories together. We've always tried to kind of work on our writing together, basically our own little writing group in a way. And what we do is we actually will, or what we were doing is we were trying to work out, how to do some good world building, character interactions, that kind of thing on an internet forum that I run, just for a small group of friends and I. And what we would do is that we would each, we would try to post a paragraph or a few sentences or some dialogue and, just try to really build up from that. And what happened was it just kind of organically came together that we started, writing what eventually became Shift. And really, if you think of how people used to co-write books where they'd, mail each other the diskette after a chapter or something like that. It's kind of the new era way of writing a book. I guess it was all over the internet. Eventually we put it into Google Documents and finished up the story on there, and after that formatted it and edited it down and got it published.
So it just kind of evolved out of your college writing back and forth. So are you two going forward as a writing team, or you think you maybe branch off into more solo works? How do you plan to move forward? Like that, this one kind of just came about, but as far as your writing career, what is the direction you want to go?
Honestly, I had a great experience writing with him. He's very, very helpful. I think our writing hopefully was kind of seamless back and forth. We used to give him crap about his chapters all the time, but I could go either way. Honestly, I think it would be more up to him if he wanted to keep going. He, we're both software developers as kind of our day job, so that takes a lot of time and effort, and then you factor in, the writing process, coming up with the story is kind of the easy part. It's the formatting it, marketing it, that's almost the most exhausting part of the whole process, I think. So I'm not sure if he wants to go through that again. I know he's a very good writer, had a good time writing Shift, but we'll see what happens. I think I started another one. I've got the offer out to him if he wants to contribute, but we'll see. I'm hoping that the answer is yes, but you never know.
So I guess, from what you're telling me here, it sounds like he kind of sees writing as a hobby, but it sounds more like you're kind of pursuing it a little more seriously.
In a way. I mean, it started out as a hobby for both of us. And, you know, one thing that we always noticed with most people who try to write is that there's never any, well, I'm not going to say never, but it's always fun to write the story, but oftentimes it will just kind of float and never actually get published. So actually taking the effort to, you know, finish everything up, that seems to be kind of the limiting factor. So, you know, I did a lot of the push to actually get it out there at the end of the day, but I mean, you know, I guess that's kind of a hobby for him. That's the answer you're looking for.
So, okay. All right. So let's talk about craft specifically, and I'll probably ask you about him as well. So what do you think is the strongest part of your craft, and what do you think is the strongest part of his? Like, do you balance each other out, or you kind of both have the same strength?
I think we probably balanced each other out. I was really into the idea of building this world up, and he would, in a way, kind of temper some of the things that I was trying to shoot for. Definitely helped out with a lot of the dialogue, too, to make it seem more organic. So, you know, I think we probably played to each other's strengths, honestly. You know, if there was something weak in one of the background chapters, for instance, or kind of the POV to get you an idea of the world, you know, the other person would kind of seamlessly step in and, you know, flesh things out or point out some flaws that we had, you know, kind of, you know, in a way, like what a good writing group would help you do.
Right. Okay. And as you continue to go forward, what's something you're trying to develop in your own writing now? And what are some of the techniques or what are you studying to improve that?
For me, the one thing with Shift is that it ended up being fairly short, I think, in word length and content in a way. And that was kind of because that's just where the story took us and it was a good ending to it. Going forward, something I'm, you know, really interested in is really, you know, kind of fleshing out the world, making it a lot more visceral, you know, a lot more real for people reading it. And, you know, the way we kind of wrote Shift was that everything was happening from the character's perspective. You know, you're kind of being spoon-fed what the main character was seeing, and you didn't really get any of the lore, any of the world, other than from that person's point of view. So I think one thing that I would probably be looking to do is really to, you know, really to expand on, you know, maybe if it's in the first person view, what the person's seeing, or maybe interactions with other people, other objects in the world. But really, I think this, the takeaway is to expand a bit more.
So the project you're working now, it's going to be in the same world?
That's to be determined. I mean, I think I'd like to have some kind of crossover, at least in terms of, you know, maybe histories or maybe characters. Definitely plans to revisit the Shift world proper in the future as well. The current one I'm working on is kind of a side story in a way. It's still playing with my fondness for the technical side of things. So definitely probably at least very similar worlds, if not the same one.
So, okay. Well, you had mentioned a little bit about the world and the main character, and this was something that this is actually the reason I liked your novel and contacted you for the interview. And that is that the exposition, the backstory, all of that is relayed to us with a very strong POV. And this is the reason I would recommend authors pick up this book, is that as he tells us kind of the backstory of how the world has gotten the way it is, you can very much see that it's kind of presented as though he just saw clips on the news and kind of put his understanding together. He doesn't seem to have a really deep, clear understanding of everything. It's like he saw a few news reports here and there, he heard a friend say a thing, and that very much feels how the story is presented to us. And I really appreciated that in the character development there. just because it seems like that's how a lot of people's understanding of the world is now. You know, they saw this news article or, you know, this clip on YouTube, and they've kind of pieced everything together from there.
Must have been Jake's section then.
Oh, it must have been his section.
No. That's good. I mean, that's kind of one of the things that we were hoping for too, is that, you know, you're kind of step in, and we left the main character nameless too, so that you could kind of step into that role. Right.
Uh-huh.
But basically, you know, you are, you know, the main character in the story, and you're just kind of experiencing the world through, you know, watching TV or catching stories on the internet, or, you know, basically just getting spoon fed these clips of what's happening around you just from common media outlets. And that's the understanding that the main character has. And that's kind of how we went from there, and just kind of piecing all of this together and, you know, learning where you're at, I guess.
So, yeah, I thought it was very, very well done, particularly because in fact, it's the first time I'd ever seen it done that way. It seems like any time when someone decides to kind of explain the backstory, it is this full on kind of this omniscient understanding and detailed history of the world. But you guys, it was very much how real people walk away with their understanding of political and historical events. Just, you know, I saw, you know, a couple of newscasts and, you know, talk to some friends and they saw some different things and just kind of pieced together that way. I thought it was really well done.
Yeah, appreciate that. Thank you.
So, okay. So going back to craft a little bit here, what is something about just the storytelling or writing that you wish you had known when you first started?
Honestly, it's more so the little things. I mean, I've always been kind of, you know, a grammar Nazi in a way where I focus way too much on the technical issues with some of the prose and, you know, getting just the grammar right, getting everything right. And then you kind of lose a lot of the good organicness of the story. So I think, just being able to sit down and get something out and worrying about a lot of that later on is kind of the thing that always drove me nuts in a way that, just having fun writing it, first of all, and getting it out there and then fixing it up later. But honestly, the thing that surprised me the most in terms of the actual writing process is not writing the story. I mean, that's the fun part. It's the editing, the marketing, you know, everything that the, I guess, current indie author has to deal with. That's really the hard part, I think. It's almost the after stuff that's the hardest.
Yeah, yeah. Marketing is exhausting. And particularly because, like, most writers, you spend all your time studying and improving your writing, and then suddenly you have to learn a whole new skill. And it's exhausting that way.
That's fine. I think one of my favorite books that I have is Stephen King's On Writing book. It goes through a lot of the writing process. It goes through a lot of everything, but, you know, it's still kind of entrenched in the old school publishing model.
Yeah.
With everything you have to do today to get yourself out there, it's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy.
but yeah, no, I agree. Just being able to write for, you know, hobby or for your profession, it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing to be able to do.
So, yeah. Great. Okay. So I found that for a lot of writers, as you begin to learn a lot about writing, you get pickier in the things you're willing to read. So what is something that you pick, you pick up the book and you're like, I can't read this. If they're writing that way, I can't do it.
Oh, that's that's pretty funny. And very true. Very true. So growing up, I read just a ton of Stephen King. I read a lot of, you know, kind of that genre, the horror / fantasy. And lately I've been reading into a lot of fantasy novels, a lot of hard science fiction. Been reading a ton of Brandon Sanderson lately, and I love his world building, but, you know, sometimes, you know, once I started getting into this whole writing mindset, I was like kind of almost reading his outline through the story, and it was just kind of crazy that I could actually see, okay, this chapter, this thing is probably going to happen, and then it ends up actually happening that way, because you can kind of get into their you know, their writing mindset of you see how the story is going to go and then it goes that way. And you're kind of sad that you foresaw the ending already.
Right.
But I mean, just even then, it's always good to just read, right? Because then you get, you experience all of the other authors' idiosyncrasies. You understand how they do their craft, right? I mean, there's a reason that he's so successful. You know, he just keeps pumping out books and they are all very well written, all wonderful. You know, usually the punch at the end is pretty good. So yeah, it's, but you're definitely right. Once you start writing as a craft, you can actually see some of those things inside of books that you kind of wish you hadn't. It's like, I guess, like working at fast food restaurant where you actually know what's going into the food. You don't want to eat it anymore.
Yeah, you don't want to eat it anymore. That's funny. All right. So, okay. So talk to me about publishing, the decision to go indie and some of the things you've experimented with that work and that haven't worked.
Yeah. So the decision to go indie was easy for us. Like you said, right now, both of us have, you know, we have families, we have full-time jobs, and being able to support those families is kind of the first goal, you know, thing that can't change. So the typical go after publishers, go to conventions, spend a lot of time as a poor starving artist was kind of out of the question for us at this stage in our lives anyway. You know, may change in the future, but, for now, you know, priorities are kind of the issue. So for us, I mean, the fact that we have this wonderful indie publishing market, you know, no matter how saturated it is right now, it was a very attractive option for us to be able to do it kind of on our own time. And, you know, not saying that if anybody wanted to take us on as, you know, the traditional route, we'd be cool with that. But, you know, the indie route, that means we can do it at home. We can, you know, market ourselves on our own pace. And, you know, that was basically, you know, the motivating force there.
So, all right.
So, I mean, obviously all of the things that you have, you know, finding an agent is kind of what everybody seems to struggle with, whether you want that or not. You know, for us, it's been just getting it out there. You know, we participated in the Smashwords summer sale, basically. It was kind of our first real big, I guess, sale that we took part in. And I think we got a bunch of different downloads. I put it up there for free just so that people could get in their hands. And honestly, it was super rewarding just seeing that people were, you know, downloading it, putting it on their devices and reading it. That was almost as rewarding as seeing people pay for it in a way.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I don't know if you're familiar with Tim Grawl, but one of the things he says, your first book is not about making money. Your first book is about getting your name out there.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that sentiment.
So, and, you know, I know the indie model is, you know, you have, like, once you have your second book, the first book becomes free to get as a way to kind of attract new readers.
Right. Yeah. I've heard that as well. I mean, there's probably a valid point in there too, that, you know, nobody really wants to take a chance on you. And there's probably thousands of other people equally starving to get sales and that kind of thing. So the more you establish yourself, I think the better chances that you have. And that's why we're working on follow-ups, right?
Okay. So did you use an editor at all, or was it just kind of, he was your editor, you were his editor approach?
The editor thing is something, you know, maybe that's something I could expand upon a lot. So I do a ton of technical writing at my job. Like that's, you do software development, and eventually technical writing becomes something that you do more than actual programming and developing.
Huh.
So I basically edit white papers all day is basically my job. So kind of what we did was that and this was a pure financial decision because, you know, editors, especially if you're starting out at a hobby, the editor price is pretty expensive, right? Like it's pretty pricey to get somebody to edit. So what we did was we took some time off And basically, I did the editing for the book. You know, I took my experience as a technical editor and applied that here. So I'm hoping I didn't miss any major plot issues.
Yeah.
Because technical writing and or technical editing, fictional editing are two completely different beasts. But I kind of put on my cynical hat and tried to think of myself as a reader and something, you know, if I was reading it, oh God, this section really pisses me off, or I really don't like this. And, you know, so we would, you know, we trash chapters, you know, we went and, you know, basically fixed all the glaring issues, tried to fix all the grammatical, technical problems. But the way it ended up working out was that, you know, I'd print it off, I'd edit it, we'd take turns fixing all the markup that I'd put on there, and probably killed several trees and a lot of red pens doing this. But, you know, we took so long between writing this, editing it, publishing it, that it was basically like a brand new book when, you know, I printed out and marked it up for us. It's like, mm-hmm. you know, one of the issues that people say why you should never self edit. And, you know, that's probably even the case for this book. Is that you just kind of gloss over all your problems that you have, right? And that's right. That's like the number one rule of not editing your own book, is that your eyes go fuzzy and you just, you know, skip all the problems because it's perfect. It's your perfect
because
little child.
It's perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
but yeah, I'm kind of, what the thing was that, like, I think we probably finished writing it, you know, 2013, 2014, that kind of time frame, and it didn't get published until 2016. And that was kind of a reflection of where we were in life, our jobs and that kind of thing. And enough time had gone by that I kind of felt comfortable stepping into that role of editor, much to both of our consternation, I guess, anger at times. But, you know, it was good. I think it ended up well. And at the very least, if there are some sections that you liked, I think, then... you know, we at least did a reasonable job there.
One more thing I did want to ask is, are you familiar with The Expanse, James Corey?
It sounds familiar. Not directly familiar with it though.
Okay. So, well, the reason I brought it up is, they made a sci-fi series based on it, and it's a series of sci-fi books, but, the author is listed as James Corey, but it's actually two authors writing kind of like you guys do. They just used a single pen name. So I just thought you might have heard of them. Well, so why don't you tell people about where they can find you and your books and maybe follow what you're doing in the future?
Yeah, sure. So you can find me all over the internet. I'm not too active on most social media. I've got a Twitter, Rob_the_lens. You know, normally I post stuff there. That tends to be more with other indie authors, and it kind of becomes this self-fulfilling cycle of, hey, we need to write more, which is kind of funny. But, you know, I try to post some interesting things on there. I've got a website, ourlens.info. It's kind of the landing page for Shift. It's got a word counter for where I'm at with upcoming projects. Going to try to flesh that out a bit more as time allows. And what else? Shift is up on Amazon. It's up on Smashwords, so that you should be able to get it, I think, at pretty much any retailer that you want, ebook wise. Recently also added a hard copy version up on Amazon too, if anybody was interested in having real paper in their hands. I've got a version of it here at home, and it looks actually pretty snazzy, I think. So yeah. I mean, pretty much Twitter, website, Amazon, Smashwords, those are kind of the places that I live at online. And that's pretty much it for me, I guess.
Sounds great. Thank you for your time. Thanks for listening. We would love it if you would leave a review on iTunes or whatever platform it is you listen to. Don't forget that we do have the giveaways going on. If you signed up for the newsletter, or if you got the newsletter, you can click on the link and that'll submit you to the giveaways. This month it is a book cover, or if you've already have one, you can get some more promotional materials for your Twitter and your Facebook and other ads that you are running. Check out the Facebook group if you're interested. We'd love to have a few more people in there to get some real craft discussions going on. And thanks for listening.